Blog Talk Radio.
Giblets. Now, it is, in fact, indeed, the year where a lot of things are going on in the world of professional wrestling. And, I don't know, some of you have been suggesting a YouTube channel for Wrestle Radio. I think I'm going to cross over and keel over, and something must have keeled over and died. And, you know, I always thought that I would try it, but I wouldn't try it, but... Very funny. Very funny. Got a comedian here running the freaking soundboard here. So, today's subject line reads, "You get what you get when it comes to pro wrestling." Now, some of you are thinking, oh yeah, I have a lot to add to what the show could be, or what they should do, or what they can be. I'm going to wait till Off the Rails Wrestle Radio segment to basically set the record straight of what I'm talking about. In some regards, because I got to save my ranting and venting for that section. You want to know what I find endearing about a wrestling crowd? It's fun because I am a part of a lot of them, and I will be a part of one this coming Saturday at GWF in Kansas City. If you haven't already done so, go to Eventbrite, look up the event, purchase your tickets. Make sure you get to the venue on time. The doors don't open till 6:30. The event doesn't start till 7, all that good jazz. Oh, yeah, one more thing. Be sure to support my boy, Kurt Gannon, because if you don't, you will have suplexes waiting for you. And trust me, they hurt worse than Brock Lesnar's. And they look better, too, and he does more than one. Or two, that is, for that matter. He has more than two. He does three. He does a lot of suplex, but you get the point. Wrestling crowds endear me. And that is because you have a different wavelength of fan nowadays in pro wrestling. So you get what you get when you buy the ticket that costs you over $100. Or some fans are content to be in the nosebleed. I, on the other hand, made it a point this year to get good seats because, as a broadcast journalist, you try your best to report what's going on currently in the world of pro wrestling. Well, currently, I've been reading around the book because people will spew out the news that I don't even have to go search anymore, which is funny because there's groups like Cults of Kayfabe, there's groups LGBTQ for pro wrestling, and it's a wide variety of fandom, and not just fandom, but people who discuss things that think they know about the business. Let me get to you guys. There are those of you who have a perfect concept, a general idea, and that doesn't necessarily mean you have to agree with every single opinion that I have. Then there are those of you who, when you say it's okay for you to express your opinion as far as, you know, business, from the business perception of things in wrestling, it's kind of like taking a fork, plastic one at that, taking the end of it, turning it around, and stabbing it in your right eye. Because Some of you who have never even been in a professional wrestling ring, some of you who have never taken a bump in your life or never been involved in the traveling aspect of it, sacrificing time away from your family, you think that ride-alongs and all these video journals that wrestlers put up is what wrestling's all about? I mean, it gives you an insight, but what I'm trying to say is you don't have a fucking clue. And for those of you sitting there at home saying, well, why is V-Train in a bad mood? I'm not in a bad mood. It's just that aspect of things, leave it to the workers because they are the ones traveling along with bumps and bruises, broken hearts, misconceptions of how to handle their money, some of them, not all of them. The hope and the prayer that they might one day get a call to WWE or New Japan or Ring of Honor, the hope and belief that people are going to buy their merchandise so that they can get a gas ride home. And sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you get fortunate in that regard, so you have enough money to eat, so you have enough money to go to White Castle or Applebee's or the good life of living the independent scene, which is hearing the fans chant your name because they know who you are. So fandom, when it comes to taking on the perception of worker, well, this is what I would do. I would definitely turn this person heel, and I would definitely turn this person babyface. Now you're dipping into the territory of trying to become like a promoter. It's okay to pretend to be like one, but to say it would work if they did it this way. A lot of fans know what they want. A simple click and a simple way of blogging about it and making your opinion heard on a national stage, whether it be Blog Talk, whether it be your own blog about what you think and what you like and what you don't like. It's called freedom of speech. I get it. But in that, like, okay, what you get what you get when it comes to pro wrestling. If somebody that you like, let's say a Shinsuke Nakamura, let's say a Keith Lee, or once upon a time, you know, what's her name? I don't know. Ruby Riott. Who got your name got changed, obviously, when she went to WWE NXT Developmental. But let's say you're trying to cheer for someone, right? And you say, well, it'd be great if they were going this angle with this story. And does it bug good old B-Train when those discussions pop up? No, in some instances, and yes, in some instances. Why? Yes, in some instances. I'll tell you why. Because for those minds inquiring to be involved in the pro wrestling business as a writer, like I've told you many times before, if you want to get involved, there's one simple step. Take the step. Even if it means going to a seminar, but please, by all means, when I say go to a seminar, have some experience prior to that being in the ring. So you have to have experience of being in the ring as a writer. Not necessarily. You don't have to construe your opinions and say, or misconstrue mine and say, well, V-Train said that we could go to camp because, you know, he said we had to take a bump and do all this. No, I didn't say you have to take bumps in the ring and out of the ring to know what it's like to be a wrestler, manager, or referee, but you have to learn how to word things carefully. Because some of you believe, this is workers included, some of you believe that you're content to be where you're at. I don't know about you guys, but if I were in the position of certain people in this business, I'd want to be somebody that the crowd actually fucking remembers, because if you're not, you end up being forgotten. You just get lost in the shuffle. So you get what you get when it comes to the world of professional wrestling, meaning whatever the performer decides to do, whatever the worker decides to do in that ring to make sure that he or she is noticeable, that he or she is worthwhile seeing, then I guess, you know, the crowd either gets
what they're trying to do gimmick-wise or entertainment-wise, no matter what level you're on. I've noticed this with certain wrestlers, not just on the indies but in WWE. They're content with what their career brought them. And is that a bad thing? In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. Some may use the consistent example of John Cena. They say, oh, well, he's boring, you know, he's terrible, he doesn't do anything different in the ring, and he has his five moves of doom. I may not like the guy. I may not cheer for him for a lot of reasons that I could list out here on my show, but I'm going to tell you right now. The man is consistent. He shows up to work on time, may have a lot of enemies in the locker room, depending upon what you read and what you believe. But if I'm a promoter and a guy shows up on time to work and he's never late, never had any drug issues, nothing, no scandals outside the ring, I'm completely 100% behind him. Even if I've got personal differences with the man, if I have him booked against The Miz or I have him booked against somebody else, my initial reaction as a promoter is, well, I may not like John on a personal level, but he does his job, he goes home, and he comes home, or he goes back to the hotel, goes wherever he's supposed to go for appearances, and then he leaves. So you get what you get. Now, granted, all the personal stuff aside about John, you still talk about him, which that philosophy really irks the fucking crap out of me. You get what you get. Fans started buzzing about it. They started talking about it. In my world as a fan, again, this is just my opinion, if you're giving the fans something to talk about, it better be something that lasts longer than four weeks. Just saying, because certain promoters, certain producers' perceptions of how a show is supposed to run, you get what you get. That's what their response is to the fans. You get what you get. You either get a really good show or a really crappy one. And tonight on Monday Night Raw, expect some controversy to go further into the Elimination Chamber, the men's match, that is. Which is ironic because you get what you get, right? You got Seth Rollins and Finn Balor with a controversial finish last week on Monday Night Raw. You get what you get. That's the theme for today's show, or tonight's show, ladies and gentlemen. There's so much thinking that I'm doing right now that it's just not even funny. When you put it into perspective of what people have gone through in the world of wrestling, what people have aspired to be, what people are currently in the world of pro wrestling, lots of us are super fans. You accept the role that you're given. That's just the way the cookie crumbles in the world of pro wrestling. It's like a wise man once said, or keeps saying, be a servant to the business. Even if you know that you've got fans, keep plugging away. Keep being that guy or gal that gives the fans a show. Even if it's the hardest crowd to fucking please, give them a show. That's what Lance Storm said on his podcast. You know, you may think, like, fans think that you guys pay our salary. What he said was, in defense of young Randy Orton, is we don't owe you anything just because you think that you're paying us. The company pays them accordingly, through a merch check, network check. Oh, and here's one for you. They get salary. So depending on what their net worth is, the company is the one that pays them. Yes, the tickets are the sales. And if the wrestlers give you a shitty show, talk about it, man. Don't video it. please do not, unless it's really funny, then it's worth seeing over and over and over again.
But if you're just talking about, oh, well, I really hated the show because Shinsuke Nakamura did not come out on top or Matt Riddle won again. My God, it's so boring when Riddle wins. Honestly, people, here's what it is. I am a very critical person of certain people that I just don't feel a good vibe with. And just because I don't feel your vibe doesn't mean it's going to affect your perception or your opinion on said person that I'm not feeling their vibe. And Paige is one of them. Carlito was another. Like I said, I don't pertain to controlling people's careers because I'm not a promoter and I'm not a producer. I am simply a guy that's known as a former manager who has acquired a taste for running his mouth on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm not ashamed of it. And you know why? Because it is my given right to state exactly how I feel, just like majority of you do in Facebook, Facebook or on Twitter or through Instagram, your little memes that you make. This is not an attack on fans, sir. This is basically stating opinions and facts. About 98.2% of wrestling fans now believe they know what's best for the business. And the hilarity of it is they keep quoting the man that's going to maybe, possibly one day soon, take over World Wrestling Entertainment, as Jim Ross put it in his little video snippet of how Paul Levesque is the next in line to be in charge of World Wrestling Entertainment when after Vince McMahon has long gone and left the business. So here's my thought process on you get what you get in the world of pro wrestling. If you're expecting, you know, a grandiose show at WrestleMania, you might get it this year. It took them a while to have, you know, you're going to have your up and down matches on that card. It doesn't matter because WK in Japan is the equivalent thereof, but much better and more room to roam when it comes to telling a story in the ring. WrestleMania is different because it has a lot of elements like entertainment, shows, access, all that good jazz. But you get what you get. You get what you pay for. Sometimes Raw can be the show that looks like shit. Sometimes SmackDown Live can be very, well, actually it's always entertaining in my opinion, but another thing could say SmackDown Live, the B show. Or Raw is a great show. Ring of Honor is just a rookie division, blah, 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 rookie division. Hold the fucking phone. Did you just say that? Lester from Hazelwood, California has just stated that Ring of Honor is just a WWE farm system. Okay, well, that's your opinion. And if you're sticking to it, then go ahead, my friend. That's pretty much what this show is for. Wrestle_radio, if you would like to send in your questions, comments, statements, or concerns. Also, B-Train 05000 for Off the Rails Uncensored, which is every Wednesday, folks. It's every Wednesday from, and the show times will vary. So you're saying, my friend, that Ring of Honor is basically a farm system, so why should we care when you start discussing Ring of Honor? I'll tell you why we should care, because, look, Cody Rhodes may not be or may not have been the premier guy in WWE, and they kind of botched that big time. Should have just been as big as The Miz or bigger. It all depends on how you work within the system. That's basically what The Miz did so well was he adapted. He didn't perish. He adapted to his surroundings. He listened to outside advice. Not only did he listen to outside advice, he was able to work on a consistent basis. Sure, he did have his issues. I mean, once upon a time, he did change outside the locker room. But I'll tell you this, you won't find, I mean, you could find one, it's called, or he's called Kenny Omega, a guy that can parallel The Miz. Are you serious? Yeah, I can find a few names, sir, without even trying. Marty Scurll, the Young Bucks, Ethan Page, depending on which role you give him, Matt Riddle, heel or face, he works well. So, I mean, it all depends. Tommaso Ciampa, Cian Almas, Andrade, Pete Dunne before WWE, Tyler Bate before WWE, Johnny Gargano before WWE and current. It doesn't matter if you're heel or babyface. What matters, what I'm saying, is you get what you get. So you're saying Adrian from Louisville, Kentucky. Adrian is asking, why do I mention Matt Riddle so much and also Chris Hero? Well, the answer to that question is because I'd like to vary my discussion just from stemming, you know, from being a huge WWE fan back in the day, actually ECW. I like guys that stand out, like Jerry Lynn, RVD. For those of you who don't know who Jerry Lynn is, you can watch him on the network for only $9.99 a month with a valid debit or credit card and a valid email. And the password is your first month free, so you can get more than just ECW, folks. This is a segue into the advertisements. Those of you wanting to go to get you a WWE Network subscription, you can do so by going to WWE.com. Click on the Network tab. Make sure, like I said, if you're wanting to get really a month free, $27.99 is the cost of the WWE prepaid card, or the membership card, if you will, for the network. The network card can be found on the shop. It is $6.99 for regular standard shipping. For certain other business days, it's $16. And for next day, 1 to 2 business day shipping, it is $21.99. So yes, you can also find those cards if you don't want to pay the shipping. You can go directly to your local GameStops, Dollar Generals, Best Buys, Walmarts, and also your local 7-Elevens. For those of you wanting to kick cancer square in the ass, go to SusanGComen.org and also Cure for Connor. That is SusanGComen.org and also Cure for Connor. There is a link on WWE.com. Be sure to click on it. Watch the video of the life-changing story of Connor's father and what he underwent while Connor was still around. And it shows the highlights and clips from WrestleMania 30, which, if you have tissues readily available while watching that video, please do so. Also, if you like to make a child's wish come true, go to MakeAWish.com, sponsored by WWE and various other organizations. Make-A-Wish will type, you can type in the name of the celebrity, superstar, wrestler, NBA star, NFL star, whomever you want your child's wish to come through. Make sure you do it fast. Go to MakeAWish.com. MakeAWish will be at WrestleMania Access, the hottest show of the year, WrestleMania 34, live in New Orleans Convention Center. For more information, visit Ticketmaster.com. Make sure to check out the local sponsors and support MakeAWish. MakeAWish.com. For those of you wishing to go or wanting to go to Monster Factory Super Camp April 20th and the 21st, visit the Facebook page. Go to monsterfactory.org. Click under Eventbrite's purchase you the ticket. If you're looking for airfare, I suggest southwest.com. United is even cheaper. Americans, look at the prices. Therefore, it'll determine what you can and cannot do. All right, folks.
if you're wanting to attend a wrestling school, monsterfactory.org, contact Danny Cage, the head trainer, world famous head trainer now, internationally known, and basically just contact Danny Cage. His phone number is on Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram handles. It's right there on the vehicle as well. It's located in Paulsboro, New Jersey, the world famous Monster Factory, the same factory that's trained the likes of Sheamus, Gabby Martinez, Punishment Martinez, Steve Cutler, who is now currently still in NXT. We also have trained Ian Riccaboni, who announces Ring of Honor and Future of Honor shows. Gabby Martinez has worked several shows in Japan, and also Women of Honor. For more information, like I said, contact Danny Cage on monsterfactory.org. You can email him. I'm sure one of his associates will also answer the emails and get back to you as far as tuition price goes. For those of you wishing to attend the school in Iowa, it's Brave for Black. There's also a wrestling school in Iowa led by Todd Countryman. If you have any questions, message him on Facebook directly to discuss your future for the wrestling school. For those of you interested in a wrestling school in Kansas City, you can go to NWLLeague.com, click on Enroll Today. NWL TPC is located in North Kansas City, Missouri, right across from the Pickle Bar, whatever that thing is. Like I said, I don't live in Kansas City anymore, so send in KC if you want any further directions. We all have smartphones, so please click Google, type in NWL TPC. Should lead you right to those directions. All right, folks, that does it for the advertisements. We're getting closer and closer to my favorite portion of the show, which is where I get to tell you how I feel. In other words, one big rant session or one big venting. A little thing that's been discussed today is Jeff Jarrett entering the Hall of Fame for WWE 2000 class of 2018. You now have the Dudley Boys, Ivory, Jeff Jarrett. Yeah. That name I haven't heard from in a while, unless you're talking about TNA or Impact Wrestling. So, quite interesting. Very, very interesting. If at all you have any questions, feel free to call in the toll-free number at 213-943-3422. That's 213-943-3422. You guys think I should do it early? I don't know. They're giving me the nod for... All right. You know what? Go ahead and segue into this. I got a lot to discuss in the half hour that I'm going to discuss it in. So you best sit back, enjoy the ride, keep all hands and feet inside the ride. If I offend you, tough nuts. The show with no filters on it, so if you already heard some obscenities and you turned me off, I don't give a fuck. But I've got 49 seconds until I absolutely unleash, but you know what? Fuck it, I'm going to do it right now. Hit my music, monkeys. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost was something I would see. I know your anger, I know your dreams. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, I'm the cost of person I would be. So, there's a lot of things going on in the world of professional wrestling. I say this to you guys all the time. If your sources are invalid, then you have no point. But if it's something worth my while that I come across. Like, okay, I was scrolling through my news feed today and saw that Jeff Jarrett's name came up for an induction into the Hall of Fame. Now, there's two unusual inductions into the world of WWE's Hall of Fame 2018. One of those is Ivory. The other one is Jeff Jarrett. Ivory is one of those that was a trailblazer, so really is it quite unusual? Eh. And then you have Jeff Jarrett, who beforehand, you know, there's a lot of scandals surrounding Jarrett, you know, basically him taking shots at WWE. I guess it's one of those, hey, would you like a shot being involved for the Hall of Fame? I'm not one to ponder someone's decision, but if Jarrett is in there as Ivory, a lot of fans are clamoring, as they usually do, like as we usually do, to wonder, well, okay, what about China? What about Benoit? It's not up to us. It's up to the board of directors. It's up to the peers. It's up to a lot of things. I don't know if they still do the slammies, but maybe they need to bring those back, because those are things you watched as a kid and were like, man, that's so cool. You know, I want to be a part of this one day. Some people are like, I didn't really care for WWE. Well, you fucking liars. Why do you constantly talk and berate them, you know, and say how horrible of a company it's become when you sit there and have them to talk about? So, anyways, Jeff Jarrett being inducted into the Hall of Fame, I'm not going to spend too much time on his induction, because although it does raise questions, because Jarrett has said some horrific things about Vince. No, he said some horrific things about the company. And he's had some stories to tell before he left, you know, and started going back to WCW and the whole incident with Russo and the finger poke of doom. It just, you know, with Jeff Jarrett, he started out his career, he was mid-carder at best. He was the Intercontinental Champion a few times in WWE. Some may say, well, he was basically the jobber to Shawn Michaels. Some say he was the guy that helped guide a lot of people's careers. Some say he really doesn't deserve to be in WWE after he bashed a lot of people and a lot of names and drugged some people's names under the mud. I'm one of those guys that, speaking from experience of dragging people's names through the mud, it's quite endearing when people start judging and saying, I can't believe Kurt Angle made it after all the shit that was going on between him and the E. I thought they'd never induct him. Never, ever say never in WWE, ever. Because you never know when you could get the call and say, hey, I'm going to WWE, and here I am, thinking to myself, Jeff Jarrett's name entered the Hall of Fame. This guy works his ass off despite what people think of him. And, you know, this is one interesting Hall of Fame class. The Dudley Boys, I am more biased towards when it comes to the induction of them, because I followed their careers more so than I did Ivory's, more so than I did Jeff Jarrett's. I do remember Ivory a little bit, you know, back in 98. She worked her way up from GLOW and made it to the E, man. And she was multiple time women's champion. She beat China, which, you know, a lot of fans are still upset about. But overall, when it comes to inducting people into the Hall of Fame, it's based off your surrounding peers. The people will say, I didn't have a say in this, so what are you talking about? Jarrett, you know, I remember his feuds with Ahmed Johnson. I remember him being in WCW back in the day with the Four Horsemen. I remember him coming back to WWE, and I remember him going back to WCW. A lot of guys did that back in the day. Bret the Hitman Hart, anybody, Eddie Guerrero, Rick Rude, Ric Flair,
Arn Anderson. The names go on and on about floating in and out of the business, and yes, I'm pretty sure that a few people in the business will have something to say about Jarrett's induction into the Hall of Fame. Cornette's name comes to mind because hell must have frozen over last year when Jim was inducting somebody into the WWE's Hall of Fame, and that was the Rock and Roll Express. So, you know, lots of things happen that are unexpected in the world of wrestling, and Jarrett's induction into the Hall of Fame is one of those. Now, enough talk about the Hall of Fame. You get what you get when it comes to pro wrestling. So, Oscar Rousey. My take on this is I'm not too thrilled that Rousey's going to be the one to end Oscar's streak because she's barely been in the company. I don't know if that's going to happen. It's just my speculation on it. But it's pointing, all fingers are pointing towards Rousey as the one to end Oscar's streak. Because obviously Nia Jax and Asuka faced off before him. It's going to be a damn good match this coming Sunday at Elimination Chamber. You can catch it on the network, 8/7 Central, WWE Network exclusive pay-per-view, Raw exclusive. Oh, and again, not so fond of the MMA invasion, but it's not up to me. But Rousey did get a lot of attention. I'm not really caring for what she's doing, okay? I do like the fact that at Royal Rumble, you know, it's like, wow, you had to win the whole thing. Oh, I have to do a show up. Good way of presenting that to fans so they can start buzzing about it. My whole take on the whole Rousey showing up and choosing Monday Night Raw, I'm not a big fan of. Because who's going to face Charlotte? We all realize that Charlotte would get ripped to, you know, torn to ribbons if Ronda Rousey faced her. We all know that. Charlotte is very tall. She's got her father's legacy. But now I guess Rousey's main purpose was to end Asuka's streak. Do you know how much people that's going to piss off? The WWE's pissed off a lot of people, yet we're the same ones that come back and watch the program. Because we're fans that are gluttons for punishment, so we tell ourselves. We are fans that when we see the show, we either see it as a worker's perspective or we see it as a fan's perspective. I'll tell you what's more enjoyable. To be able to sit back and just relax as a fan and watch the show, but at the same token, in the back of your head, you're saying, okay, well, he's going into the heat or he's going into the shine. Okay, here's the comeback. If you honestly watch it like that, it can be less enjoyable for you. How so? Well, it all depends on you. So you get what you get when it comes to that whole thing. Also, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Dolph Ziggler, Baron Corbin. Oh, and my personal favorite, AJ Styles. Those gentlemen are going into Fastlane to face one another, and I'm pretty sure SmackDown Live knows how to build this. More so better than the whole Finn Balor, Seth Rollins deal. I mean, these two have been rivals. So now all of a sudden going to pick that up out of the woodwork because Ambrose is out of missing in action because of his rehabilitation with his arm. You never know what's going to happen in the world of pro wrestling. Someone can get hurt. Oh, wait, Ambrose did. Ambrose got hurt. So that turned things around quite a bit for the men's side of everything. I don't know if he was supposed to win the Royal Rumble or not. Even if he wasn't supposed to, there's supposed to be some kind of fucking controversy between him and the Shield. And that kind of got torn to ribbons because Jason Jordan enters the fray, gets thrown in a very, very precarious position. If you had to shuffle somebody over to the Shield, I would have suggested Finn Balor. Then some people say, well, if you shuffle Finn Balor in there, how the fuck is he going to fit into the Shield? I'll tell you how. That man is a draw. And they put him back into the main event picture. Thank God for certain people who know how to book. Because Monday Night Raw is a clusterfuck. They have all the talent. They have pretty much the big Cesaro. They've got Asuka. They've got Sasha Banks. They've got Bayley. They even have Mr. Cena, who, you know, peered out of the woodwork just to support his fellow castmates, I guess, if you would call it that. Roman Reigns. You've got the shittiest rendition of the, you know, the female's rendition of the Shield. They haven't even come close to what the Shield did. What I'm trying to say is you get what you get. So if there's a roster with a bunch of names and their quality performance really shitty, week after week at one point on Monday Night Raw, this is a true statement, in 2017 and also 2016 prior to that, Sheamus vs. Cesaro, week in and week out, the story, the plot thickens. See the enjoyment in my voice? You've got to have a balance of shitty shows and nice shows. Unfortunately, Monday Night Raw has consistently had shitty shows. How so? I'm not referring to John Cena beating Finn Balor, but that's one example, not just a match result, but you get fans who gripe and complain no matter what you do. So it's really, really hard for us to be like satisfied with what we're given on TV, what we're shown, what's presented to us. In other words, you can beg, you can plead, you can beseech, you can do whatever. It's all up to you how you perceive what wrestling is for you. Okay, does that answer your question, Carrie? Carrie from Stillwater, Oklahoma. Boomer Sooner, he says. And he says, how am I supposed to enjoy a show when they keep constantly putting over people that the fans are known to hate? Like I said, sometimes it's personnel, sometimes it's talent. The personnel has to go to the talent to explain in their little book or whatever what they plan on doing, what the story, what the builds are, who is going against whom. So, in other words, it's hit and miss with Monday Night Raw. It may be sometimes hit and miss with Ring of Honor, and some say, well, Ring of Honor always puts on quality shows. How can WWE not do that? Different company, different promoters, different visions, different outcomes. Okay, just because you write it down on paper doesn't mean fans are going to just jump all over it and say, man, I really like the concept behind this. There's always more than one side of the story. Because people, you know, will always say, I don't like the fact that they're pushing Roman Reigns. I don't like the fact they're pushing John Cena. I don't like the fact that Michael Cole sits at the announce table. He must be doing something right, though. I don't know. There's got to be a happy medium, in my opinion, when it comes to pro wrestling. There just has to be. Many people will sit there and tell you, I know what's best for wrestling. I know the business just as good as anyone. No, the fuck you don't. You've got to give wrestling. And then you can critique it. Because I've literally seen a lot of wrestling, not just WWE, I have seen a lot of wrestling where I am from. A lot of varieties where fans just try and chant to get themselves over instead of watching the show. Or when, you know, Keith Lee faced off, again, I forget what was his name, my co-host knows his name, Big Lads Wrestling. Oh, Jeff Cobb, that's who it is, Jeff Cobb. So you get what you get when you show up to a show. I hate people who literally will sit behind me and start critiquing as if they were on their podcast, as if I were supposed to know who the fuck you're supposed to be. You're not a celebrity. You are not
someone that is well known, like Heel Marks Podcast, like I'm just gonna plug my show, like Wrestle Radio, which is still not known at all, but I'm getting there. I'm eventually getting there. I need help though, folks. So if you like to help us out in any kind of way with making t-shirts, getting us appearances. Oh, wait, that's my job. You get what you get when it comes to pro wrestling and from all facets of the business. Managing. If you're, you know, if you're a manager and you're content with where you're at, you're saying, I don't need to change, I'm good with where I'm at, you're missing the boat. Go to JT Davidson School, which is located in Dayton, Ohio, or maybe Columbus. I don't know. Look up JT Davidson's wrestling school. He also, you know, he trains managers. Very well known in the wrestling community. If you're not satisfied as a referee, there's schools for, you know, they train wrestlers and referees and managers. Just have to take the opportunities, folks, to adhere to honing your craft. And please pay attention, making it so that fans believe in what you're doing, saying, and being. Because some guys, they live their gimmick, but they don't know how to live a family life. And that, yeah, it is sad. It's a sob story. And, you know, then there's those that are, again, they do it so well, they don't know when to quit. And they're really, really good at what they do and say and try to portray themselves in the ring as their character. They really immerse themselves with the crowd, like Elias Sampson. That's a perfect example. People will hate on him because, you know, he's just doing the California drift gimmick or hippie gimmick. He's not really a good wrestler. And explain why he's the modern-day honky-tonk. And certain people will say, not honky-tonk, he's his own. He's his own gimmick. Yeah, he doesn't come out in a pink Cadillac, and he doesn't imitate Elvis, but he does come out with a guitar. How many workers that you know of came out with a guitar? There are plenty before honky-tonk. They're just not well televised. Honky-tonk Man was in territories before he came to the WWF. Then, okay, it's currently WWE. Here's my thing, folks. There comes a point when some of you, not all of you, some of you, grate on my last nerve with, I know this business just as good as a worker, just as one of the boys. You are slapping the entire locker room, if you've ever been involved with a locker room that is in the face. It's best if you just keep your mouth shut, spoken was spoken to, because I've learned that lesson the hard way. If they don't know who you are, they're not going to care. If you think you know what's best for business, you don't. What I'm getting at is, you get what you get when it's the world of pro wrestling. So if you train really hard, you work your ass off, you not only a worker, but you enjoy shows on the side, then what I'm going to tell you is, keep on keeping on, brothers and sisters. Because the world of pro wrestling is very unforgiving when it comes to certain people, when it comes to certain people you come across, such as promoters, fans. It's like a job. It is like a job. You either keep going with it, find different avenues, or you can end up like me on a podcast. I'm pretty sure that all the podcasts in the world have basically stated, well, fans are this, fans are that. You guys are beautiful is what you are. It's just some of you annoy the ever-living piss out of me, and you like my honesty.
be ready for the whole kit and caboodle when it comes to my honesty. You get what you get when you get good old B-Train live on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, busting his ass. My co-host is coming to be a guest for the long haul on March 3rd. You get to hear his voice. Now, I know you have been clamoring to hear his name, what he is, what he does for a living. I mean, you want to possibly call him, you know, show him a good time? That's up to you. But I warn you, he does have a girlfriend. So I'm not making this scenario up, folks, if I tried. You get what you get when it comes to me discussing pro wrestling. Like, some of you have been asking why the hate on Paige. I wouldn't say hate, but when Toni Storm, who has an identical storied career when it comes to convincing her family, I mean, it's different in that area because Paige's family, they're obviously, number one, they own a wrestling school. Paige has now been said that she's going to start focusing on her shop. I don't know if you heard me, but I did say that Paige is focusing on her shop. That's her business. You know, when you're not going to be involved in wrestling until a year from now, you keep getting setbacks, her ring rust keeps showing. I think that Toni Storm is a much better example of someone that can actually work, someone that actually gives a damn about what the fans, how the fans will react and think and feel. I think Paige also does give a damn too. It's just in different wavelengths. And not just that. You want my honesty about Carlito? Good person, you know, hard worker, not really. Yeah, I could go on down the line about what I think about wrestlers, but we all know that's kind of pointless. You get what you get when you see pro wrestling, and you also get what you get based off the performer's attitude. Some of them may think, well, the fans, I don't care about it. I care about making money. Some people can get away with that. Like, I keep mentioning this, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, they can't be the only ones that did it for the money. But Kevin Nash blatantly said, you know, openly said at WrestleMania 31's Hall of Fame induction, if you think I did it for the money, you were probably right. Nash did come back briefly at the Royal Rumble. That was pretty much it for him. Because like Punk said, click, click, click. You hear Kevin Nash when he walks. That's what it sounds like. Anyways, when you tune in to my show, you get what you get. If you're not satisfied with it, hey, you can listen to another podcast. Trust me, there's some brutal honesty amongst broadcast journalists, but you won't find another B-Train. Pretty sure you're like, well, there could be somebody that can imitate you. I'm pretty sure we can find a rambling fool that can tell it like it is about the world of professional wrestling through his eyes. Now, you know, I do have better vision, and I've always been able to see, in my opinion, what's a good wrestler and what's not. If you're not giving the crowd what they want, then you're missing the fucking boat. But, you know, some people's theories are, you get what you get. So we get good merchandise, but the shows are just shit sometimes. So you get what you get. I can't change people's perceptions on what they view the world of professional wrestling is. If the crowd is not into the first 20 seconds of your match, you better find something that'll get them going. Otherwise, you're fucked. And that theory of, well, you know, 50-50 booking has something to do with how the crowd will react to you. Yes and no. 50-50 booking means, okay, so half the show is good and half the show is shit. You want me to dispel the theory that I actually give a damn what Michael Hayes and Jamie Noble? Nah, man. I'm just trying to sit there and be like, okay, well, here's the show. I'll give it a chance, but if it kicks me in the noggin, I'm not going to be too fucking happy with it. Because as a fan in my 30s, I grew up trying to get to know the business probably around the age of 21, 22 years old. And that's because I was curious about how the other side was, you know? It wasn't so much, okay, I get to go to another wrestling show, yay. Sometimes, folks, I feel a bit burned out on it. You know, you go to a show and here's what you see. You hear, woo! And you hear and you smell the cotton candy, you smell the popcorn, you smell the cotton from the shirts, or the new shirt smell. It smells really addictive, trust me, folks. Then the lights dim, crowd gets excited, then you either hear someone's entrance theme, and in 30 seconds, WWE SmackDown will go live. The ambiance of NXT, the ambiance of Welcome to Ring of Honor. I try not to sound like Anthony Kimmel. I really do. I don't think I sound like him. I hope I don't. I hope I'm not stepping on any toes. But you get what you get. With me, it's random, but I circle right back around to the point that I'm trying to make, and that is you cannot diss on certain aspects of fandom. But you, however, it's our job as super fans, as broadcast journalists, as podcast hosts, to point out the obvious. If you get wrapped up into the show, they're doing their job. As a fan, you want to react, you want to boo, you want to cheer, you want to cry, you want to laugh, you want to say, man, that was great. Remember when so-and-so said this about so-and-so? Remember when John Cena said this about Roman Reigns? Remember when Shinsuke Nakamura did this on SmackDown Live? Remember when Randy Orton kept doing RKOs out of nowhere? Remember when Keith Lee did a reverse 450 splash onto Jeff Cobb and the fans were surprised that the ring didn't fucking break? Remember when at the Evolve event in San Antonio, the ring ropes broke on Chris Hero 3 different times? Just different things, people. Different things. You get what you get because it's your perception on what makes you happy, sad, angry, whatever you are with the wrestling business. Okay? So you get what you get. That is pretty much the basis of being a wrestling fan. So, while I've got a minute left, folks, I'm going to tune in tomorrow for SmackDown Live preview, Wednesday for the SmackDown Live review, the whole kit and caboodle, the crazy train, the crazy thoughts of good old Brian Rails, myself, on Wednesday, Off the Rails Uncensored. I hope you tune in. Actually, I know you will because I'm nuts. So, if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, then I got 3 choice words for you. Forget about it. Oh, yeah. Few more kind sentiments. I got to eat, and I'm hungry. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you enjoyed the randomness that is Wrestle Radio Live on Mondays. Amaya Jade will be my guest the week before WrestleMania. So, toodles, bitches, enjoy, and that's all.